This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, February the 13th, 2009. All in all, it was a slowdown week in the marketplace going into this President's Day holiday weekend. Will trade resume with vigor for the Tuesday session? We'll ask that and many more questions today on Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Aaron Curtis. He's with Midco Commodities out of Bloomington, Illinois. Our panelists in studio today are Bill Rauch of Roach Ag Marketing out of Savannah, Illinois, Dave Jansen from Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign, Illinois, and Merrill Crowley of Risk Management Commodities in Crescent City, Illinois. Here are the way the futures in Chicago finished the week. These are composite trades with a weekly high and a weekly low in the trade. March soft red at 577 from the wheat pit on the high, the low at 534.5. A settlement price there, 21.5 cents lower week over week at 535.5. In July, wheat at 560.75 finished down 21.5 cents. Corn futures with a high this week of 383, a low at $3.63, just a 20 cent trading range. Settled 14 cents lower at 363.25. And December futures at 405.5 in the corn pit, down 16.25 cents. March soybeans this week at 1019 top, bottom at $9.55, settled 955.5, down 45.5 cents. November beans 892.5, down 53.5. Live cattle futures, February contract, 85.45 on the high, the low at 83.65. Live cattle settled. The Febs at 84.05, 40 cents lower. The March feeders at 94.47.5, finished 12.5 cents higher. And the lean hogs, April contract at 64.05, top bottom at $60. Even with the settlement price up $3.35 from the CME group, April lean hogs at 63.75 on their settlement price.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's begin our discussion with this question. My bins are full. When push comes to shove, Dave Jansen, which should I be prepared to sell first, old crop corn or soybeans?
I think the answer to that is, in my opinion, would be old crop corn. I just have to say, just really extremely disappointed in exports. Right now we're in a situation where basically just a little over half of what we were doing last year on last year's pace. And as we look forward, I think in a soybean situation, I'd be really surprised if our export forecasts aren't even higher than what the USDA is saying. So I guess my answer to that would be definitely corn.
Bill Rauch of Roach Ag Marketing.
Yeah, I'd agree with Dave on that. Probably sell the corn before the beans. Figuring here again, the stronger demand structure that we have going on in the soybeans should support that. And also, if I'm looking for re-ownership opportunities, I can also do that a little less expensive if I'm looking to do that in the corn side of things.
And Merrill Crowley.
Again, I guess I have to agree with the rest of the panel. Corn basis is really good right now in most locations, and I think a person at least has to take advantage of that by locking in basis and then possibly coming back and on any type of rally. And I'm not talking a big rally because this market right now is not allowing that, but on any type of rally, getting your cash or getting that priced in the futures.
You're listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of public radio on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. And we've got a couple of extra panelists on the program this week, new to the program anyway. Merrill Crowley, who you just heard, is a graduate of Southern Illinois University, has a BS in Ag Econ. And he's a branch manager for a large co-op for 10 years. and the owner of his own marketing business for 12. Late in 2008, he started up with Risk Management Commodities. Most of you will be familiar with Mike Zuzulo and Chuck Shelby. He's in business with them now. Merrill, welcome to the program. And I've got a question for you. What unique experience or quality do you bring, do you think, to your customers?
Well, thanks for having me. Unique quality. I'm kind of a self-taught technician, and in that respect, I'm not totally Elliot, totally anything. And I use a lot of different technical aspects to come up with pricings to assist Mike in his overall view of the markets. And as compared to some of these brokers, I've never had the responsibility of trying to make decisions when to sell and how much to sell. I think that's what I can bring most to the market.
All right. Thank you very much for bringing yourself down here to the Champaign Studios and being on the show with us for Commodity Week. Merrill Crowley will, I'm sure, be on many more times in the future. Bill Roush is with us, too. He manages the Savannah, Illinois branch office with Roach Ag Marketing. Bill's been with Roach since June of 98. And he spent 2.5 years working with John Roach in Boca Raton, Florida. That couldn't have been too bad. And helping to develop the marketing plans for the Daily Commentary and assisting in training new brokers there in the Roach Ag system before he returned to Illinois in the spring of 2007. Prior to joining Roach, he was in the livestock feed business for 10 years. Bill received an animal science degree, by the way, from the University of Illinois in 1983. Bill, it's a long haul from Savannah in the northwestern part of Illinois to Champaign. Thanks so much for the drive down. We appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much for having me here, Dan.
And which experience had a bigger impression on you and the way you deal with your customers, working with John Roach or selling feed?
Oh, I think selling feed had a pretty major impact. So much one-on-one on the farm, really getting to know, developing relationships. I think that's had a major impact. Probably the other side of that is working with John has given me the discipline on how we approach the markets, and we have a pretty simplistic but effective approach to the markets.
Dave, I'm feeling the need to let you talk a little bit about what you do, because you do something interesting as well, at least your company does, Strategic Farm Marketing, not the strict sort of brokerage firm that we have on hand with us most of the time. You do a lot more with crop insurance than most.
Yeah, we do. Basically, our company started in 1985, and basically in 1999 we got into crop insurance. Today we'd be one of the largest agencies across the 10-state region in the Midwest. So a lot of our things that we do is really ag marketing related as it relates to crop insurance, and it's been a successful venture for us.
Merrill, since you said you were a bit of a technician, I don't know whether you can go back, and this isn't quite tech-oriented, but at least it has to do with the charts. In the CME Group's report on Friday afternoon, they talked to a trader who suggested that lows or highs were generally put in around three-day holiday weekends. Wonder, one, whether that's actually the case, and if you think there might be something in the offing for this President's Day pause.
That's not uncommon to have a market change direction after a three-day weekend. Matter of fact, we had kind of a line in the sand drawn for our customers. If beans closed below $9 in the November market, we wanted to protect their equity in that market, didn't want to drop any farther. And that happened as today markets closed, and we decided that it would be a good idea to wait until Tuesday before actually finalizing any put options or sales for soybeans.
Bill, you think this is right, that there's usually a change or shift around a holiday weekend? President's Day weekend is kind of a funny holiday weekend. Not many realize the markets are closed on Friday or on Monday, but they are.
Yeah, I was one of the ones that didn't realize Monday was off day.
Dave's writing it down. I don't have to go to work on Monday.
Some things we just don't pay attention to. Yeah. I don't know. I there is some credibility to that. The other side is we have got so much going on in the outside markets right now with the stimulus package being passed by the House and the Senate, and sounds like it's going to go to the – or probably passed by the Senate this afternoon and then going to the White House on Monday. So that might have an impact on the outside markets going into Tuesday as well. So,
Dave, let's talk a little bit about the USDA ending stocks reports. Both domestic and global were released. Not really much in the way of changes in the domestic ending stocks. There were some numbers on the global side that were pretty impressive. Most of the trade expected that USDA would take a look at the situation in South America and drop the corn acreage or the corn harvest and the soybean harvest. In fact, they did, but maybe at a little faster pace than many had expected. Were you surprised by those numbers on the global side?
Yeah, I think, I expected to see those type of numbers drop, but I think the biggest surprise to me was I thought they would increase exports even further than they did on the U.S. side, and I thought the drop in the crush of 35 million bushels on the U.S. side was also a surprise to me anyway.
Cause yeah.
I guess in looking at my situation, I'm still extremely bullish on old crop beans, and as bullish as I am on old crop, I'm that bearish on new crop. I think if there's any type of a hope in any of the rallies, corn, beans, or wheat, I think it's got to be probably bean led, in my opinion.
So USDA increased bean crush by 50 million, I think, domestically, and they dropped exports, as you said, to 35. So there was a 15 million difference, and that's how we ended up with a 210 carryout. What would you have increased domestic?
I would not be surprised to see soybean exports before we're all said and done increased almost 100 million bushels versus to 1.2 billion versus the 1.1 that they were currently at, and they moved it to 1.5. In looking at that, I think eventually you're going to find that those crush numbers are going to be hold up to the values that the government was looking at here before. So in looking at that, it's entirely conceivable to see a carryover pushing into the 150 number or lower on beans. And if that indeed happens, I guess the real question is to me is, are these exports front-end loaded, or are they an issue where this pace is going to continue up? I think the surprising thing to me as you look over the year so far is our exports to China right now are 135 million bushels ahead of last year. And I think that's a number that needs to be reckoned with.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'm going to paint a target on you and then let the other two take a shot at this, just relatively speaking. Less of a target and more of a level at which they might deviate from. So how bullish are you old crop and how bearish are you new crop soybeans?
I think that spread could definitely change by 50 cents or more. I think the concern that you have right now is that soybeans, just as of the close that you're seeing right now, on the charts look like they're trying to break down. Corn looks like the same thing, that you're trying to break out of this recent range that you've had. Whether you're successful or not, that's another thing for as you get into Tuesday. Wheat's also done it. So these markets are very, very dangerous situation technically-wise on all of them. I think if you see a surprise to the marketplace, it ends up being a bean-led surprise, in my opinion. Maybe not allowing those markets to get as cheap as you thought they would because of a bean rally. But it could definitely happen either, that all those markets change and just beans don't drop as much.
Okay.
It can go that way too. But I do definitely think that old crop beans will hold up there better than the other commodities.
So right now, roughly speaking, in all round, there's about a 50 cent difference between old and new crop. And you think it could go to a dollar spread, which would, if you just held no, if you held the noves where they are at 9, we'd have a $10 bean crop for old crop. So let's use those as targets, 9s and 10s. What do you think?
Right there with them, 10 and a half on the old crop, at 9, a little better on the new.
Merrill?
I think we actually could see both markets in the beans reach 10. I think you'll see your old crop definitely reach there first. Then you're going to start having some pressure on, because people are looking for that $10 level for making some more sales on the beans they have. I also think our fundamentals corn-wise are good. The real problem that we're seeing, as everybody knows, are the outside markets. I mean, you look at Tuesday's report coming out, which was a fairly decent report, a little bit better than what most people were expecting, looking for markets to go higher. And boom, stock market crashes over 300 points and takes the grains right down with them.
Can you give me some numbers for corn? What do you think?
To the high side?
Yep.
I see corn having real trouble getting above $4, especially in the cash market, because just about everybody I talk to says, I want to sell at 4. And my recommendation to them, if that's where they think it can get to and they can price it, They better have that in that order in their elevator ready to go.
Bill, you're shaking your head. Yeah, that ought to be the case.
That $4 mark is just, I think, universal. I think if all of us putting on meetings and talking to customers, that they're just itching to get it sold at that price. And it always scares you if we're going to get close, but not there.
And do you think they'll make it?
I do. I think they're going to have some strength coming into this market. I'm hoping it's wanting to put in some more what-if premium as we get into the spring markets. And we've discounted the rains in South America to my point now. We've stabilized that crop and have taken that weather. And I'm hoping we're at the bottom end of the range and can bounce and go back up and test the upside of the range.
You're listening to Commodity Week. Our in-studio guests are Dave Jansen of Strategic Farm Marketing, Merrill Crowley of Risk Management Commodities out of Crescent City, and Bill Rausch of Roach Ag Marketing out of Savannah, Illinois. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Aaron Curtis. He's with Midco Commodities out of Bloomington, Illinois. And Commodity Week, of course, is available on the web at willag.org. That's willag.org.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Spring-like weather temporarily elbowed winter out of the picture for a few days this week. Temperatures this week averaged 18 degrees above normal in northern Illinois to a whopping 22 degrees above normal in southern Illinois. The large positive departures were aided by 3 consecutive days with temperatures reaching the 60s across much of Illinois. That ended with the passage of a cold front on Wednesday, which brought in cooler, but still warmer than normal, weather. Precipitation was much above normal this week, especially in a band from near St. Louis northeastward through east-central Illinois. Heavy rain fell in this area, with 3 to 4 inches reported in Effingham and Jasper counties. Lesser amounts fell to the north, but they were still significant. Considering that February is normally the driest month in Illinois, this week's precipitation met and exceeded the monthly amount in central and southern parts of the state. After winter's return early this weekend, the weather will improve just a little during the first half of next week. High pressure will drift over Illinois on Tuesday, but by Wednesday, a storm system will likely be dragging warmer air and more precipitation across Illinois. That will be followed by colder weather for the last half of the week. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333, and by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, February the 13th, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today are Dave Jansen of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, Merrill Crowley of Risk Management Commodities out of Crescent City, and Bill Rausch of Roach Ag Marketing out of Savannah, Illinois. Our guest is Aaron Curtis. And Aaron, thanks for being on the phone with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
Aaron is a commodity risk consultant with Midco Commodities in Bloomington, Illinois, and is responsible for providing grain marketing information, advice, and development of merchandising strategies to Midco accounts. It was established in 1980. Midco handles advisory services to grain elevators. On our Friday afternoon, Aaron, program, analysts suggested the farmer with a big enough lot might be able to shop processors and find a surprisingly good price for either grains or oil seeds despite the slump this week. Do you think that might be the case?
Yeah, we continue to see basis levels improve this week as the farmer selling is obviously awful slow here, and we continue to see basis levels improve because of this lack of movement. So, you know, some of your processors, some of your river terminals, those kind of things, continue to see cash values almost or at least be steady this week, maybe even a little bit of a improvement in some locations as we continue to see that basis level improve with this lack of farmer selling. It's been ongoing for a while now, and based on this week's activity, there's probably a little more of that firm held by the farmer going to ongo into next week the way things look.
Aaron, this is Dave Jansen. Question here for you. What do you see for acreage upcoming for this next year and corn and beans? Those numbers seem to be constantly moving anyway on those targets.
Yeah, I think we're going to probably see an increase in bean acres. I mean, obviously the question is how much. You know, it looks like cotton acres could be down a little bit. We got a little more coming out of the CRP right now. And, of course, you know, talking to farmers, they just there's a fear out there that they're going to be putting corn in the ground here at a loss and maybe not have any hope or aspirations of making much money at these current prices. So that could come into play here as we move forward. I still think, though, that at least in Illinois, if the weather's good in April and it's a sunny, beautiful day, we're going to plant plenty of corn here moving forward.
Aaron, this is Bill. I want to go back to the basis. I just want to get what your thought was going forward. We know we're under that tight basis now and improving, but as we get into those May, June time frame, what are your outlook at that point?
Well, I think the question is going to be, Bill, when's this you know, this wall of corn that we continue to hear that the farmer has, you know, when's that going to come crashing down? And I think that's a lot of the elevator concern, of course, too, with basis levels, too, is when are they going to start buying all this corn? And we might be a better predictor of what basis is going to do when we know that phenomenon is going to happen. Is it going to be a time function here as we move forward? You know, we typically, March time frame, we do have some bills on the producer end that do come due, and we start to see a little bit of farmer movement. But like you guys were saying, you know, everybody's kind of sitting here waiting for $4 cash, and we continue to drift farther and farther from that. So, you know, how much money moving forward are these producers going to meet? Going to need, and when's this corn going to come move is going to predict basis. That, and you got to think that when this farmer selling does happen, it could have a little weakness on basis moving forward.
Yeah, Aaron, this is Merrill Crowley. We're seeing about 5 to 6 million acres less of wheat being planted. What do you feel is are those acres going to go into?
I think the lion's share of that at this point would probably go into beans. I mean, obviously, we have some decisions still to be made here moving forward, but I think we'll see a big portion of that moving into beans. And, you know, whether or not we get to an 80 million acre bean number, maybe be a little bit of a stretch, but we could see something in that high 70 million area on beans moving forward, with a lot of that coming from wheat acres and, like I mentioned, CRP and maybe a little less cotton acres.
Aaron, you suggested there was a wall of corn out there and that farmers were waiting for $4. Is it likely that, as we've heard a couple of times, we're more seasonal at this point than we have been for several years and that July, August could be really ugly if a normal crop is in the ground?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if we do continue to see this farmer hold this corn off the market, and it does come to the market more in that late summer time frame moving forward, it's probably not a good scenario for basis as we move through the summer months.
And then I have another question. This one, have you started to talk there very much with the rest of GrowMark about fertilizer? And I'm interested to know whether they think corn farmers will put on as much of the dry fertilizer, so they may not have put the DAP on last fall. Will they get that dry fertilizer on? And if not, what kind of impact does it have?
Well, I know just reading some stuff, you know, just in outside sources anyway, there is more talk of guys holding off on some of the fertilizer they needs moving forward. And just some of the stuff I've read, I guess you could sound like some of these farmers have may be able to get through 2009 with some less fertilizer, but could come back to play a bigger toll maybe in 2010. So I think there's a lot of that talk going on. I haven't sat down and talked to the agronomy folks one-on-one too much here lately, Todd, but I think it's you know, it's something that definitely to pay attention to, and I think it's something that could be a market factor here as we move into the spring months.
Aaron, what would you see for marketing plans would you recommend for old and new crop corn as well as old and new crop soybeans?
Well, I agree with that you guys, that I don't see a whole lot of hope moving forward for old crop corn. I just don't see a lot of rallying potential here as we move forward. So I look for a place in here maybe to kind of lighten up on some of your old crop sales, especially with some of the basis levels that we are seeing. $10 beans continues to be a mark that we continue to have seen some farmers continue to move some beans. When we get to that $10 level, obviously moved off of that here this week, but I'd hold off for something around $10 to continue to move old crop beans and kind of get them cleaned up. As far as new crop sales moving forward, maybe be a little patient in here. I still think we can get maybe some sort of a typical seasonal spring rally here to maybe get a little more sold here, but I wouldn't turn too bullish, I don't think, on DEESE 09 or November 09 beans moving forward.
Yeah, Aaron, we've recently seen some increase in corn exports. Just want to get your take going forward on that.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to see. We started kind of getting those daily reminders from the USDA. Again, it seemed like maybe they had shut off their phone there for a while, but it's kind of nice to see those. You know, we sold some more corn here to South Korea again this morning, so it's kind of nice to see those reminders, and we've had a pretty good, you know, 4 weeks in a row here, some pretty solid export sales. So that's a good good sign to see, and hopefully that's a trend that continues, because obviously the export market needs to improve, especially along some of these markets tributary to the river that could use these basis levels to continue to firm up with some of this solid export market. So we hope that continues, and you know, if we get these global economies to kind of turn around here a little bit moving through the year, as hopefully we kind of bottom out this this economic recession or whatever you want to call it that we're in, hopefully we continue to see some of those exports continue to improve.
Yeah, we're looking at a lot of the customers having trouble even taking corn into their local elevator because, you know, the wall of corn that you're talking about is already there. And I know this is looking quite a ways down the road, but what do you see as the storage situation come fall in most of these commercial elevators?
Well, I think for the ones that have tight storage situations, I still think if they have an opportunity to move it and the farmer allows them to move it, being that they allow the elevator to take ownership of it, I still think that we'll have a situation where, you know, storage we'll still be okay moving into the fall, and we have heard of a few, you know, locations talking about building. So there's still storage capacity being built here as we move forward. So I still think going into the fall, as long as this corn moves in a timely manner over the summer, that storage will be about average compared to what it is in the past few years.
As we moved through the winter and spring last year, of course, farmers weren't able to get bids very far out. I wonder whether that is a trend that might continue in the elevator business. Do you have discussions with your grain elevators about how far out their bids go at this point?
Well, I mean, we're not seeing a whole lot of bids past DEESE 09, just basically lack of interest more than anything, Todd. But obviously the financial situation for the grain elevators changed dramatically in the last 12 months. You know, running corn to $6, $7, $8, the margin calls were obviously pretty stressful. But here in this situation, with not a lot of hedge ownership, not a lot of outstanding margin calls being done on a daily basis, it's not a biggest concern as we move forward trying to buy some of this grain at these levels. So, but I think it's more of a lack of interest more than anything that just hasn't been able to get a lot of conversation, anything past DEESE 9 moving forward, Todd.
Aaron, thanks much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Aaron Curtis is with Mitco Commodities out of Bloomington, Illinois. Now, final word from our panelists in studio, Dave Jansen of Strategic Farm Marketing.
Well, March 16th is a deadline that we're facing for crop insurance for this upcoming year, and we're seeing some incredibly cheap rates now in enterprise units. So,
Bill Roush of Roush Ag Marketing.
Be patient in here, see what we get into in the first part of March, see if we can't get some rallies, and be ready to sell.
And Merrill Crowley with Risk Management Commodities.
Again, we are looking at defending $4 corn and $9 beans, and we may be doing quite a bit with our customers to protect their equity. I think that's a consideration everybody out there needs to pencil out.
Thanks for listening to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.